Perth County's hottest country, 100.1 The Ranch.
100.1 FM, The Ranch, Perth County's hottest country. Hopefully you guys are having an absolutely amazing day so far. The time has come. I am on the phone with this week's Ranch local spotlight artist, Mr. Patrick James Clark from over there in London. And he has been a very busy guy. He's a songwriter, an artist, an author, and so much more. And today he's on air with us here on The Ranch. How are you, Patrick?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you on the show. So we're going to start it off real easy. And just so that our listeners kind of get to know you, tell us your musical story and your journey in music.
Yeah, well, I've been probably working in the industry professionally for the last 10 years or so now, but sort of had a roundabout way of getting into music. I started off playing the drums really young, and I went to jazz school as a drummer. And I really wanted to be writing songs, but I was a terrible singer. I was a terrible guitar player. But I wanted to get into music, and I knew I'd get in the door that way. So I went up to jazz school, and I did that for a little bit, and then was sort of trying to pivot. And I ultimately got into Berkeley down in Boston, and said I wanted to be a songwriting major, that I was going to go, you know, as a drummer, but be a songwriting major. And they're like, that's probably going to be pretty difficult to pull off. So I ultimately sort of pivoted. I just kind of went and I started developing my vocals, started developing my ability to play guitar, and then was able to transition into kind of doing the more frontman singer-songwriter thing now. And that was probably about 2011, 2012 when that sort of started to take fold. And then ultimately went to music school up here in London at Western, and then I've been sort of pursuing modern country ever since.
Oh my goodness. That's absolutely crazy. So when you first started out, was it always country, or did you kind of veer that way, or how did that all work out?
Yeah, I was a really big fan of John Mayer, and I still am a big fan of John Mayer. He influenced a lot of the stuff I was doing, especially in high school when I kind of started to learn to play guitar and stuff. I was really going into that singer-songwriter sphere. And I think too, and you can probably attest to this, you know, country music's evolved so much, you know, in the last decade, that what I'd be putting out now probably wouldn't have been classified country if I did it 10 years ago. But what's great about the genre is that it's evolving so much and it's getting so broad that we have this opportunity to allow other styles of music to kind of be categorized under it. But I've always sort of had the approach of, like, you can call it whatever you would like to call it. It doesn't matter to me. I love country music and I love all sort of facets of country music. But if someone kind of hears my song and goes, this doesn't sound like a country song to me, that's okay. And if someone says that it does, that's okay too. But I've been a fan of country music for a long time, and I've sort of been writing the same thing for a long time. And right now, that's country music. It's what it's called. And if it's not called that in 5 years, that's okay. But that's sort of how I fell into the genre, I suppose.
No, for sure. And it's funny you mentioned that. Literally like an hour ago, the Ranch producer and I were talking about country music and just how the country music umbrella is so wide now. Like, there's so many things that can fall under country, per se, and that's so awesome. But you mentioned you're writing country music. You've been writing like crazy. You got cuts by other artists. You're doing that 200 song challenge thing, which is super cool.
Yeah.
And like, tell us all about that, because I think that's amazing.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess obviously, you know, when the pandemic hit and live music sort of went away, we all sort of pivoted into what we could really dive into. And for me, that was songwriting, because, you know, artists were more accessible and people had more time available to do it. And Zoom writing sort of became invented. You know, everyone became okay to try and write over Skype or Zoom. And I knew the number 200 was sort of what a lot of pros were throwing around. Like, I, you know, being at songwriting conferences and things like that, you heard a lot of pros say that around 200 songs a year is what they were cranking out. So it sort of started as this challenge to myself of kind of walking the walk. You know, if you want to be a pro songwriter, if you really want to do the thing, then do the thing. And that number was 200. So I have this little tally marketing thing where I drop marbles into a jar every time I have a jar of unwritten songs and a jar of written songs, and I move a marker over every time. And it's been going pretty well. I'm about 140 songs in for the year, and I think we're on pace to hit it. So, but yeah, it really just came out of the idea of, what are the professionals doing that you aspire to be, and how can you get there? And the better you get at writing, the better you get at writing. So it just seemed like a perfect storm and a perfect time to try and pursue that.
No, for sure. And what better way to do it? I absolutely love it. And seeing on your Instagram stories, every time you write a new song, you go and you drop that marble in. And I'm like, yes, Patrick, get it.
It's satisfying,
it's
right?
It's so satisfying. Like, oh my gosh, I absolutely love it. And people can even hear all these great songs you've been writing with your Originals Only live stream that I think you do weekly, right? Tell us about that.
Yep. Yeah. It's called Originals Only. I do it every Monday night at 7 p.m. And the idea is I play three brand new songs that I wrote the week before. And it's funny, it kind of came out of a response to my mom wanting to know how all these songs sounded, because she's like, you know, and we're never going to hear any of them because you can only record so many in a year and so many great songs on the cutting room floor just by, you know, the way of how the industry works and how many songs you can feasibly put out. So it was sort of an answer at first of like, well, maybe I'll start doing something to show people these songs that maybe don't get cut, but maybe have life somewhere else. And I was also trying to respond, you know, I really liked the doing a weekly live stream idea, but I thought they were really long. The ones I was seeing were going for an hour and an hour and a half. And I thought that was a lot to consume in a virtual concert sense. So I wanted to do something that was really quick, in and out, and you kind of knew exactly what you were getting. I list what the three songs are going to be. It acknowledges the other people I got to write with, so hopefully sort of spreading the love that way. And then, you know, you're in and out. 15 minutes, you hear three brand new songs, and then also it's a great litmus test to see what people respond to. These songs that maybe I didn't think were going to be a top contender, and then everyone really responds to it. It makes me go look at them again, or songs that I think were amazing that people didn't respond to as much. You know, makes me reevaluate that. So it's really been one of my favorite things to do, and it's been so cool to get to highlight other writers and highlight other artists and highlight songs that otherwise, you know, would go unheard for all of time.
Mm-hmm, for sure. No, that's so great. And like you said, like three songs, like that's perfect. You go in.
It's a very consumable amount,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know? And like, you know, you get your weekly dose of Patrick James Clark, and then you got to wait till next week to get your next dose. It's all good.
Yeah. And it's fresh. It's always a different song. So it's not, you know, you're not hearing me play the same three every time, which I think has, you know, it's enticing to come back and see what's going to be on the docket for the next week.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So you've been busy doing that. And also over the last little bit, you released a book. Like, man, what is it that you don't do? An author, songwriter, artist, like, oh my gosh, tell us all about your release.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, if you asked me 5 years ago, I would never have guessed I would have written a book. And in fact, I used to think to myself all the time, man, I'm so glad I'm writing songs because writing books sounds so hard. And it is so hard. It's impossibly difficult. But, you know, I was mentioning I went to music school at Western. And I did pop music, and the nature of the pop music industry, or the course program there, is it's very sort of sparse in the first early years. So you have to really take a minor, or you're going to have a lot of electives. So for me, I fell into creative writing as my minor, and sort of I thought that was the best option to sort of flush out what I wanted to do musically as a songwriter. I thought that would be like a great pillar to strengthen those skills. So in my third year, I developed this story idea for a course and pitched it to my professor. And he was so interested in it that he actually sort of helped me jerry-rig the system that I could go and do a undergraduate thesis in creative writing to develop out this novel idea. And you had to be a major in English to do that. But he was really passionate about the idea and sort of vouched for me. So coming out of school, I had 15,000 words of this novel idea that everyone was really keen on. And then ultimately ended up doing a post-grad at Humber in creative writing to sort of finish out this novel idea. And then I was sort of sitting there with basically a finished manuscript, which, you know, writing wasn't going to be my main bag, but I basically had a book done, and people that had heard about it or read it, or my folks or some other industry people we got to speak to, were all really keen about it. So it was so close to being over the line. I felt like I have to put this out. Like I can't have desk drawer full of 300 pages of a novel and that no one knows and have written all this. So I ran a Kickstarter in March and we rocked it through our goal and got funded in the first couple of weeks, which was amazing. And then this August, all the books finally came in. So I've been shipping them out to everybody. And it's been a very surreal experience to have a living room full of novels that I wrote that people have bought. And, you know, like I say, I'm an artist and I'm a musician. That was sort of that is my flagship thing. But it's been very cool to see how people responded and were so welcoming to this idea of like, hey, I'm going to try this for a minute and see what you think. And the response has just been incredible. It's just been so crazy.
Wow, that's amazing. And just for the people that don't know, like myself, give us kind of the Coles note. What's the book about?
Yeah, well, I wrote it in this crime writing class. So it's this sort of science fiction crime thriller, and it takes sort of all the elements of sci-fi and time travel that I really love, and it blends it with this nitty-gritty detective story set in a sort of apocalyptic future. So it's very like Blade Runner-esque, and has a lot of fun sort of time travel weaves in there. But it has nothing to do with like country music. It's just it's just cool. I just thought it was interesting, so I just kept running it down. It's just a side interest, I suppose.
Ooh, yeah, for sure. You know, like I said, you do it all. You know, you're writing crime novels, putting out country songs, living your best life. And I just, you've been very busy. You're doing the shot competition right now. And like, just kind of tell us about that, because I've been seeing lots of posts about that, and it looks like a lot of fun.
It's been crazy. So the shot's a nationwide artist competition that I was in last year and made it to the semifinals, made it to the top eight or so. And it's been totally revamped this year, and it's all virtual, obviously, because we couldn't convene for it. And it's been entirely centered around songwriting. So I kind of went through it last year and didn't win, and thought, well, you know, I did it, you know, my best run, and that's fine. I kind of had made my peace with that. And they reached out and just sort of, you know, sent that blanket email saying like, hey, we're changing up everything this season. It's going to be all new, and it's going to be all songwriting focused. So I thought I would throw my hat in the ring one more time for it. But it's been super fun, but it's been so crazy. It's been like, I think we're 16 episodes deep right now, because we pre-filmed a lot of them too. But, you know, it's a 24 episode season, I believe. So, you know, it was kind of every weekend for a month and a half, 2 months of in this competition and in the sort of group rounds and writing songs to spec. And if you've seen any of the show, there's just crazy prompts of like, 1 week they cracked open a fortune cookie, and then you had to write a song based on the fortune that you got, and you had to use the fortune as a lyric. And so it's really testing what you can do as a writer, because it's not really about who can write the best song. It's about like, who can write the best song with a hand tied behind their back and, you know, holding their breath. It's just, it's been such a cool experience to put a stressor on what you thought you were really strong at, which was writing. And then you kind of find like, oh man, they can make this really, really difficult, can't they?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I've been seeing so many posts about it, and I'm just like, this looks so cool. But I never understood exactly what it was, but now I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have to go binge watch like all 16 episodes so I know what's going on.
Yeah, we're in the top, I think we're in the top nine right now. So new episodes air every Friday, just on live on YouTube, on the Shots YouTube channel. So you can check it out there, and the finale will air live October 2nd, the Saturday. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. We'll definitely have to go check that out. We'll be cheering you on. But one last thing to talk about, or I guess kind of two things, but the new single, Pay You Back. We've been showcasing it all this week, and just tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, it's been so cool that it's been in rotation there. It's a song that I thought would probably never see the light of day. I feel like if you talk to any songwriter, any artist, we've all got those sort of songs that we kind of wrote, and they were really cool, and they were just kind of like a song for you, and that's just what they are, and that's where they live. And I had this song, Pay You Back, and it's sort of this love letter to my folks, right? And the hook is sort of, I can never pay you back for everything that you've done for me, which is really an autobiographical story of my life, and how, you know, my parents have been such champions of my career and really in my corner. And I started playing the song at writers rounds, and it was really becoming a fan favorite, and people would come up and talk to me afterwards and just tell me how it resonated with them and my other musician friends it really resonated with. And I was sort of starting to see this turn in the tide, like, man, people are responding to this, maybe like we should push forward with it and see what can happen. So, you know, as more and more people started to love it, I was going to work with my producer, and I sort of pitched it, and he really liked it. I was like, let's do it. Let's put it out, and let's see if the sort of, because it's very personal, right? It's very autobiographical. And, you know, I was worried at first it wouldn't resonate, but in truth, the opposite happened. You know, everyone resonated with it, because I think they just see themselves in the story. You know, they see what their parents did with them, and or any person in their life that's sort of been in their corner. And I think we all have one of those people. So I think you just see yourself in it, which is what I think great art kind of does, or what you hope it to do. So it's been so cool to see the response. And we put this live video out where we drove around in a minivan playing it in the neighborhood, and that video is blowing up at It's over 40,000 views in its first, 10 days or something like that. So it's just been so cool to see people respond to a song that, means so much to me.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And honestly, that's exactly what it is. It's a song that we can all relate to. And that's why we love it so much. We can just, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so great. Like you said, great art is something that people can relate to. And that's exactly what you did. So absolutely amazing. We're going to take a look at it here real shortly. But one last question for you. And that's just what's next for you in your music career?
Yeah, well, the hope is to be rolling into the studio again in the fall with sort of three new songs ready to go and then hopefully putting something out. I'm kind of eyeing up the end of the year to get some new music out. And then as the world opens up, we're getting the band back together. And I've been chatting with all the guys that I get to sort of play with and getting the live set back together, getting all these new songs that we've been writing into the live show. So, fingers crossed that the world continues to keep opening up, but I think there's going to be a lot of live music coming out the doors that I'm very excited to be a part of, and then continuing on with some studio releases. And then a few more cuts too. Like you said, I've been writing a lot, and a lot of people are taking songs of their own and putting them out that I get, grateful to be writers on. So I think it'll be sort of a 1-2 punch of TJC music and other artists that I'm writing on, and then some live music in there too.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, I can't wait for live music. We'll definitely have to get out and see you perform live with your band or maybe even solo acoustic. Either way, going to be a great time. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today, Patrick.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure chatting with you. Thank you very much.
And we were talking about his latest release, Pay You Back. You're hearing it right here, right now. It's Patrick James Clark on The Ranch Local Spotlight.
Remember, I was 17. I hit a patch of ice and an old oak tree. School taking all the money I had, so I couldn't afford to fix it and couldn't drive it like that. You said you put it on my tab, and I could pay you back. Three years later, when school wrapped up, had a little bit of skill, so I tried my luck. Went out with a guitar in my hand, but nothing seemed to go the way I planned. And rain came due, but it was more than I had. You said I could pay it back. And over time I borrowed my share of dollars and dimes, but that's not the thing that's always on my mind. It's when I was calling you the night, not sure what to do with the rest of my life. You tell me any good dream's worth the chase, and it's a journey, not a race. In the end, it all works out, and it's okay if it's not all planned. Now and then, if you add up all of that, I could never pay you back. It all, I seemed to find my way, but somehow the bills got paid. And these songs put some money in my hand, but I haven't bought you a house like I planned. But when you hear that, you always laugh, say there's still time to pay it back. And over time I borrowed my share of dollars and dimes, but that's not the thing that's always on my mind. I was calling you in the middle of the night, not sure what to do with the rest of my life. You tell me any good dream's worth the chase, and it's a journey, not a race. In the end, it all works out, and it's okay if it's not all planned. Now and then, if you add up all of that, I could never pay you back. Remember the first time that I told that to you? You smiled when you said, and you never have to. I was calling you in the middle of the night, not sure what to do with the rest of my life. You tell me any good dream's worth the chase, and it's a journey, not a race. In the end, it all works out. And it's okay if it's not all planned now and then. If you add up all of that, if you add up all of that, I could never pay it back.
Perth County's hottest country, 100.1 The Ranch.